In this episode, we talk about vacations. Vacations are serious business in our family, and we're going to argue that they should be for all founders. People who take vacations, science suggests, have lower stress, less risk of heart disease, a better outlook on life, and more motivation to achieve goals. Not to mention, you might actually have a really good time and spend some great quality time with people you care about.
Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. I'm Rob, the founder.
And I'm Sherry, the clinical psychologist. And we've come together to help founders and their families stay sane while starting up.
Each week, we'll talk about different ways to work well, stay emotionally and physically healthy, and stay connected to the people that you care about.
So my name is Jeff Epstein. I'm the founder of Ambassador. We help companies track and manage referrals for a business-to-business SaaS platform just outside of Metro Detroit. Essentially, although I got married in between, I've been working on Ambassador almost nonstop for about 4 years now. So we're up to 11 people, doing very well, funded by some great investors, including Techstars. And this is, I guess, part of my story here.
What we're talking about on the episode this week, of course, is vacation. So you've been doing Ambassador for 4 years plus. And during that time, have you taken many vacations?
I've taken a couple. And most recently, the longest, which was 9 days, although it was wrapped around essentially one work week. So it was basically Friday to Sunday, the Sunday after. So that was in Italy. And it was basically, for my wife and I, it was something I've been putting off. I'm certainly glad we did it. It was much needed. But up until that point, a vacation essentially consisted of a day or two around a weekend, leaving, but certainly keeping up with email and calls and so forth.
So why was it so hard for you to get away for longer than a day or two?
There's just a lot to do. I personally like being connected, although I know some people love to disconnect. I don't love that. I feel very anxious when I don't know, kind of not able to communicate with people, and whether it's customers or, you know, people working with us or, you know, whatever. So I think it's actually more stressful for me, or at least seems more stressful when I'm not connected. So that's one reason. But also there's just a lot, I feel that I have a lot of responsibility to handle a lot of things. So that was another reason why it's, I guess, harder to, you know, be off the grid for a certain period of time.
Yeah, there's a lot that you're responsible for. How did you manage that when you were in Italy for 9 days? Did you stay connected each day, or how did you balance your need to feel connected with your desire to explore Italy?
I did stay connected. I was somewhat proud of myself. I didn't actually carry a phone that had the internet. So I was more disconnected than I probably ever been. But that being said, I still checked email when I woke up and before I went to sleep, and still actually had a call with a potential big customer while I was there because I kind of needed to. So I think it was a pretty good balance, and I was able to quell a lot of things that popped up. It was definitely a balance, but I think it helped a little bit to see that everyone that was here did a great job, and we were able to function without a hitch, essentially.
Your team did okay without you.
For sure. Absolutely.
Sounds like being a little bit connected allowed you to manage some of the anxiety of being away. Do you feel like you were able to be pretty present on your trip?
I certainly didn't feel like I was not paying attention or missing things that I would have regretted later. So I didn't feel that way at all, which was really nice.
Sounds like you did it well.
Yes.
In retrospect, do you wish you'd taken more big vacations in the past few years?
I feel like that we're at a point now where there are some people that, you know, the team can function and do things that, you know, that would need to be done. Previously, they didn't always have a team. So literally if I was gone, like, no one would be there. Not because, you know, they weren't qualified people, so we didn't have any people. So, you know, part of it was just the business wasn't in a place where we have many people doing things other than myself. So, you know, looking back, I'm sure my wife would probably say it would have been nice if we could have gone on a proper honeymoon or something, but she also works pretty hard and travels a lot for her work. So, you know, part of it is just it's really hard to find time.
Did you find it pretty beneficial to be away, either personally or relationally?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I think for both, it was great. I think it allowed for some quality time to kind of think about just everything that's going on, but also from a business perspective too. So just to kind of clear my head and get out of the day-to-day things for a little bit, and also kind of think about the bigger picture and things that need to get done. You know, for us, it was, you know, thinking about things in 2015 and some of the goals and things like that. So it did give me a little bit of time to kind of get out of the weeds, so to speak.
Got some distance from the day-to-day. Yes. Are you planning any future trips? Does 2015 include another vacation?
It's beginning to sound like it. My wife is itching to plan something.
Cool. Well, it sounds like the two of you have figured out a way to do it in a way that works for you.
Yeah, definitely.
So there are some clear business benefits for time away. Of course, there's the physical rest aspect of taking time out of your normal schedule to sleep in and just allow yourself to relax physically, laying on the beach or beside a stream in the mountains, whatever your thing is. In addition to physically getting more sleep, you're taking a rest from the routine, from your team, from your same problems, from your to-do list, from the same conversations that you're having over and over, and you're shifting your perspective from looking at the details or the minutiae of the challenges that your app is facing and getting maybe the bird's eye perspective. Rob, you've talked about how that's been important for you. Even on our last trip to Thailand, we were gone for a month and you had a really different perspective of what was happening with Drip when you came back.
Yeah, you know, it was twofold. One part of it was that I was seeing things only via email because I didn't Skype with the team and I wasn't in the same room like we typically are. And seeing your company run only via email gives you different perspective. Like you suddenly start noticing patterns and things that you wouldn't have otherwise noticed. And then on coming back, basically in conversation with the team, it was interesting that we all had to summarize the last month. Instead of talking about the minutiae of day-to-day of like, oh, this support ticket is happening and this one's happening, we kind of had to look back at the whole month and say, you know, a bunch of support tickets came in when this happened. And we've noticed a trend in this. Like it was just a step back and more global thinking upon returning.
So that broader perspective allows you a little bit more flexibility in how you're looking at what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. And then just being away and coming back, you always see things with new eyes. You know, both your personal life and your work scenario. And it's kind of like someone brand new coming into a company. You can always see all the things people are doing wrong, like right at the start. But once you're indoctrinated into a culture, you kind of lose that set of new eyes. And going away for a while and coming back will really red flag a lot of things. In both directions, actually. It'll show you things that you're doing wrong, and it'll show you things that you guys are really doing right.
So much of creativity is about being able to see in a new way. And at the core of what most founders are, they're creatives. People who are building something, making something, solving a problem in a novel way. And I think that novel creativity is so easy to lose when you're in the grind. So being able to step away, reshape your perspective, I don't know. What are founders without creativity?
I don't know. You kind of dry up a little bit, or you just become a little more robotic and you show up to work and you check email and you look at your support queue and you just drone on doing the day-to-day and you work in your business instead of on it. And when you step back, when I say step back, I mean go on a vacation like this. You not only re-energize, because I came back raring to go, super stoked about a bunch of stuff that I had thought about while I was on vacation. It wasn't just an energy thing, but it was like a bunch of new ideas had hit me during that month hiatus. And once I got back, I looked at my queue and I realized like, oh, there's a bunch of stuff that needs to not be in here. Like I need to start running some things differently.
One of the other things that is a benefit to your business about being away is the motivation to have these short-term goals. As an observer, it feels like running a marathon at sprint speed. It's so long and there are so many setbacks and frustrations that having these small goals in sight, having these moments of respite, I think can really increase the emotional well-being. And there's some interesting research that talks about the benefits of planning the vacation is where you see this increase in emotional well-being. So like 8 weeks before you even go, you're anticipating, you're looking forward to, you're getting ready to be laying on the beach or going on a safari or just going camping an hour from your house. that there's real benefit to having something to look forward to and a break from the normal routine.
And I think a way to supercharge that is if you are the planner, you're obviously going to be involved. Now, in our family, you are the planner. And so I tend to not get involved in that process. But what I've done the last couple of years is either watch a documentary like on Netflix or rent it from Amazon about where we're headed, or we went on Google Maps and did Street View of some of the beaches and some of the cities we were going to, and I actually stepped through them. You could do that alone, or I stepped through them with our kids. That really got me interested and excited about it. And I also read a little bit about it. We had a Lonely Planet guidebook, and I read just a few pages. It started getting me thinking about, oh, this is what we're going to be doing, and I'm really, you know, excited for it, even though I was barely involved in the planning.
So one of the things for folks who don't know that we have tried to do in our family is to take a solid month off each year. And the past couple of years, we've been able to do an international trip. That may not be the case always, and it hasn't always been the case. The first year that we went on our month-long trip, we were in Europe, in Prague and in Italy. And at that time, we had our children with us, ages 3 and 7. And this year, we spent a month in Thailand. Obviously, the kids are a year older, but we went for a month and traveled around, had some interesting adventures, both good and bad. Only did one hospital visit this time. So this is something that we have talked about as being a goal, that we're going to do this every year and try to do a big trip if we can set the money aside. But I have talked with a lot of people about this plan, and other founders or their families are like, well, we could never do that. So it seems like there's some perceptions about taking a big chunk of time off.
Yeah, there's really two kind of objections or myths that come up most often when I'm talking to people about the vacations that we take. And the first one is that your business is going to stagnate while you're away, meaning it's not going to continue growing, that kind of you're the driving force behind it. The reality is that if that's the case, then you're probably doing something wrong. And it comes back to the working on your business versus working in your business. If you have to be there for it to function, then haven't you just built yourself a job rather than built yourself a business? It does take some planning and some delegation to take time off. And there's kind of two levels of this, right? If you, let's say you're a solopreneur and you just have a couple of virtual assistants and a contract developer working for you, then obviously you might need to have a little more involvement even when you're on vacation. People might need to be able to get a hold of you with an emergency number. I would still argue that day to day, as long as nothing catastrophic happens, you should be able to step away from most businesses at any time if it's running well. And then if you have a team of 5, 10, 20 people, that should be able to continue to not only run, but grow without you, right? You should be able, when you're in the office and not on vacation, you should be able to think about the higher level things and, you know, basically work on the business, which means that when you step away, it doesn't suddenly stop growing.
So what if something bad happens?
Yeah, that's kind of the other objection or myth that I typically hear, right? Is that if something bad happens, let's say a server outage or a system failure, something catastrophic, and if that happens while you're away, that the company's going to shut down and you're going to go bust. And this is, it's in a similar vein. It's like you have to have a backup plan, right? You have to either have delegated that responsibility in advance, or that someone can get a hold of you if they don't know how to fix it if the server comes back up. And that even if you're on an island off the coast of Thailand, that you have a MiFi router that can get you in at 3G speeds. I mean, that's basically what we had. And it would have been enough to remote desktop in somewhere and fix something had it broken. And the reality of this is that these catastrophic things, they really don't happen that often, and especially don't happen when you're on vacation. I know it always seems like it happens when you leave, but it really doesn't.
Yeah, the MiFi router was nice to have as a backup plan. What are some of the other things that you did to prepare or to work around the challenges of being away from your business for that long?
You know, there's kind of two ways I think about it. If you take one short vacation every year, like a week or two, I believe you should really just unplug and not check anything and just be disconnected. And you can set up Pingdom, which is just a system that monitors your websites, and it can monitor a bunch of other stuff, and it can email and text you if you go down, and then you can your team can communicate with you via an emergency number. That's how I would do it if I only took a few short vacations throughout the year. But if you take frequent trips, which is something that we do, we go to town pretty frequently, as well as we take longer trips throughout the year, then I feel like you need to be able to keep up with work somehow a little bit. but not being constantly pulled into the work mindset, right? You got to learn how to balance this. One of the steps that I've taken to this is that before we go on an international trip, call your cell phone carrier and ask them to unlock your phone. And you only need to do this once. Obviously, if you keep the same phone for years, that'll work. And then when you land, you buy a SIM card. And typically, they're really cheap overseas. They're actually expensive in the United States. But then what I found is that there's a lot of downtime, right? There's time when you're in cabs, you're at the airport, and you can respond to urgent emails at that point. As much as I hate typing on, you know, this little iPhone device, I found that I got pretty proficient at doing it. And I was able to utilize some of the time that would otherwise just be sitting there, not really getting much done.
There's also something to be said for setting aside some specific blocks of time. Observing you at times when you're checking email or responding to things in a cab or while we're out and about, every once in a while, something will come up that really sort of snags your mind, and it's hard for you to shift back to vacation mode quickly. And those kinds of problems definitely need 2 or 3 hour blocks where you're checking in and thinking about bigger questions and trying to solve a problem. So being able to communicate with who you're traveling with about the need for that time is pretty important.
Yeah, I agree. And that's something that I think we did pretty well this year is I said specifically that I'm going to need to be on email 20 to 30 minutes a day, I think, just to keep up. And again, if you're going to unplug totally, then don't do that. But that was my goal. I agree with you that it's like it's so easy to get sucked into the work mindset in the cab or at the airport. So if you are that type of person, you have that personality and you can't pull away from it, then this whole SIM card thing is probably not good advice for you. You know, it's kind of like knowing yourself.
And it may be better to go on a shorter vacation, a 4 or 5 day trip where you can fully unplug versus trying to maintain some kind of connection.
But you know what happened this year, because it worked out pretty well, we're in Thailand and I would check email. And then if something did come up where it's like, man, I really need to get a couple hours in, then while we were riding in that cab, I would tell you, hey, sometime before, you know, 10 p.m. tonight, I need a two hour block where I can basically get on the laptop. So why don't you and the boys go to a museum or go do something, go swimming, and then I will work up here in the hotel room while you do that.
So this all sounds good, but what if you're short on funds?
Yeah, you know, you don't have to take this exotic holiday and take a month and fly halfway around the world. We found that short trips to the coast, weekend camping trips have really the same benefit, right? I mean, you don't quite get as far out of the mindset, but there's a lot that can be done on a very low budget. And even just taking 48 hours, 72 hours and getting away can have a major impact on your state of mind.
Pitching a tent, swapping house with a friend in another city. Those are all possibilities for folks who are in the startup phase where they don't have a lot of spare cash right now. So in addition to some of the business benefits that we have talked about, there really is some interesting research that's happened recently about the role of vacations in personal and relational health. So one of these studies that I came across is in the Journal of Psychosomatic Medicine, and it was a study published in the year 2000, and it looked at 13,000 middle-aged men who were at risk for heart disease. So a pretty big study. And those who skipped vacations for 5 years or more were 30% more likely to suffer heart attacks than those who took at least one vacation a year. And that vacation was only a week. So even missing 1 year's vacation was associated with a higher risk of heart disease. And this study is also, or this finding also holds for women. A large-scale heart study of women, the Framingham Heart Study, found that women who took a vacation once every 6 years or less were almost 8 times more likely to develop coronary heart disease or have a heart attack than those who took at least 2 vacations a year. So there are clear physical health benefits to being able to step away and to let your body and your mind relax. We talked a little bit about the perspective that comes to your business mindset from being away for a time. But I think that same benefit of a new perspective can also sort of affect the way that you're living your life. I came back from our most recent vacation in Thailand and realized that my schedule was crazy. I had these weird blocks of time where I was with the kids. I had other blocks of time where I was at the clinic. And every day started in a different way. And I really needed that to be streamlined. I really enjoyed that on vacation where I was sort of getting up at the same time and going for a run or doing a little yoga. And I just had this system of living that worked so much better for me. And I realized that that was totally feasible for me to do in my normal life once I knew that I needed it. So we changed around our childcare situation and moved some things around. And it was the stepping away that helped me realize that there was just a few little tweaks that I could make that would make life feel so much more doable. So that time away gives you a new perspective on your personal life. But for me as a parent, I also really enjoyed these new perspectives of my children, watching them ride elephants and manage themselves in these beautiful Buddhist temples. I am always awestruck by what they can do when we ask them to sort of engage in these new experiences. So my perspective of them and their ability also changes.
My perspective of each other and of myself changes when I go on these trips, because it's hard work to go international and push yourself kind of to the edge of where you thought you could go, in terms of whether it's a physical challenge, you know, whether you're staying up long hours and cranking on that, or whether you're eating new foods, or whether you're just being around everyone who speaks a different language than you. There are challenges that come with that. I think I kind of have a newfound respect for, you know, for you and the kids and myself when we're traveling.
I remember feeling that, especially on our first trip to Europe. It felt like our little tribe was going on this big adventure in the world. And we were connected in a way that we hadn't been before. And we were a unit in a really unique way that isn't necessarily the case in our day-to-day life.
Right. And I think that's important. That's the importance of memories, right? It sparks on the need to have shared experiences. And so how often is it that you can have this incredible experience with your significant other, with your kids if you have them, or even on your own if you don't have either of those things? It's like we're sitting here day to day working on the business, and your life is probably work and some time with family if you have one, and then maybe watching TV, you know, watching some shows or doing something else. And it's pretty rare that you're able to form these memories that you will take with you for probably for the rest of your life. And it also deepens the bond with the people around you.
I think it just helps you be a more integrated whole person. I want to be someone who goes on adventures. I want to be someone who is comfortable being a citizen of the world, being in different places. I want to be someone who's willing to try new things. It's in these trips that those ideals get exercised.
Yeah, and I don't think everyone feels that way. I mean, everyone doesn't want to be an adventurer and doesn't want to be a world traveler and push themselves. But I still think that the value that we've talked about and the benefits are all equally valid for them, of just getting away as a founder and being able to have that new insight, see things with new eyes, and have that creativity build and step away from your work.
And it's immersing in what you love, whether that's going to Comic-Con or whether that's going to the Great Wall of China. One of the other studies that I looked at found that marital satisfaction or relationship satisfaction decreased as vacation frequency decreased. So whatever your version of vacation is, taking time to have real fun with the people that you care about or the person that you're most connected and committed to, it's a really valuable investment in terms of being able to protect your relationship from hard times and just infuse that new perspective and that fun with what's going on in your family.
Especially since you're probably pushing the relationship pretty hard being a founder as it is, right? I mean, that is naturally going to strain any relationship and make it more challenging than if you just worked a 9-to-5 job. So that's where these become even more important. So I feel like we've talked about, you know, the benefits, the personal benefits, some of the challenges or the myths. Let's talk about a few specific how-tos of kind of how to pull this off. I guess in addition to kind of getting your phone unlocked and potentially having a MiFi router and how to delegate and all that stuff, I know that there's a sea of advice on this topic. And so we're not going to go into travel hacking and that kind of stuff, but there's been a couple things that we've learned that I've never seen on a list. So I wanted to kind of bring them up here. The first one is to coordinate your vacation with a conference or some other work event so that you can write off some of the costs. And that one's been pretty nice, actually. I've even done meetups at certain locations and was able to kind of get a tribe of people together even for an evening, and was able to write off a meal and write off, you know, the day before or the day after, however you justified on your taxes. But it's a pretty nice way to, you know, be able to have some of that covered by your company and to get kind of a tax write-off at the same time.
A lot of people have asked me how on earth we do this with our kids. And there's a lot I could say about that, but some of the highlights include planning for some childcare. So when we went to Italy, Rob was putting on a conference. We were going to be pretty busy. We brought a nanny with us, a college girl. She's fantastic. And we said, hey, we'll buy your ticket and pay for your meals. You want to go to Italy with us for a month? And she was definitely up for that. And she was fantastic. And it allowed us to have dinners together and do some things, have some adult time that was really fun. We also have tried to use technology well on our trips. So at this point, we all have iPad minis, and they are heavily loaded with audiobooks so that kids can be entertained by listening to an audiobook if they wake up in the middle of the night jet-lagged or if they are just needing a little bit of downtime. Of course, there's also games and movies that are available for when kids need a little downtime away from the excitement of being on a big trip. We have done different things with our kids educationally. One year when we went on a trip, we were homeschooling, so that wasn't really an issue. This year, when we took our trip to Thailand, our son was actually enrolled in school, and we were able to arrange for an independent study project. He kept a travel blog, he did some research papers, so he was able to do some work while we were away. And most public schools will arrange for that kind of independent study project that's available through most school districts. May not always be happy about it, but you know, you can push for that if that's what's important in your family. One of the things that we also felt was important with the kids is to maintain some kind of normal schedule. So whether that's get up, do a little bit of reading and schoolwork, go on an adventure, come back, have lunch, rest, go out on a second little adventure, go to the pool. There's sort of a rhythm to the day, which is really important, especially for young children who are a little bit confused about what the heck you're doing and where you are. We also, whenever possible, try to stay where we have a kitchen so we can control our own food and make the kinds of things that our kids like. And I think the bottom line, traveling with kids, is just plan to be super flexible. There were a couple days in Thailand where we just didn't leave the hotel. We either watched movies all day, or we divided our time between movies and reading and the swimming pool. And those kinds of down days are really important, especially on an international long trip, but even on a shorter trip, to plan some time that, you know, kids can just have their own form of relaxation.
And I'd add that you need to pack light. I think this second year of the month-long vacation, we packed about half the stuff that we did the first year, and we were just fine. So I would say pack light and then chuck half of your stuff. And you know, the four of us could have fit in a single large backpack, but we didn't do that. We actually took two backpacks with us to kind of distribute the weight and so we could get souvenirs. But I've found it really worthwhile to invest in some decent travel clothes, a couple pairs of travel underwear that are really easy to wash and dry quickly, one travel shirt. We typically we took three or four outfits total per person, and tried to do no cotton, right? Because cotton doesn't dry and it's heavy. So you can, it's shocking how if you spend a little bit of money, you can become a lot more efficient. It becomes a lot easier to keep your stuff clean, and it is just a lot lighter. And then the other hack, which you know Dan Andrews from Tropical MBA calls it GIT travel. It's get it there. And that's basically don't bring stuff that you don't need the whole trip. Like we were kind of backpacking through Thailand, and then I went on to Prague, and I knew I would need a jacket, I would need longer pants, I'd need a bunch of stuff, and I basically just bought that when I got to Prague. And makes a nice souvenir, but it was also super handy to have, and I didn't have to lug a jacket all the way through Thailand in the 90-degree weather for the month.
Sunscreen, shampoo, toothpaste, all of that is very widely available around the world.
Right, so you can
find it wherever you're going.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's smart to bring a small quantity with you so that when you hit the ground, you don't need to rush off somewhere. But I was buying hair gel, I was buying stuff there. I mean, there are grocery stores pretty much anywhere you're going to be.
So we pack light, except we brought a cello and a violin with us to Thailand.
That's an exception, yeah. So if your kids play instruments and you need to bring that stuff, that was why we packed light, though. That allowed us to then bring that cello and the violin.
In summary, our value is to spend our resources on experiences that help us connect to each other, to our kids, and experiences that deepen and broaden us as people.
And it's also experiences that bring you back revitalized, more creative, and that in the long run are better for your personal health, and they're better for the health of your business. than if you don't take that time off.
Do you have any other vacation wisdom that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, the one thing that I would say, and I think what worked for me is, for us, it was important to kind of be present in the vacation itself. And then for me, what I tried to do as well was I got up a little bit earlier than my wife stayed up a little bit later in some cases, and I could still manage some things that didn't kind of take away from her trip at all. And that, I think that was like really useful for me. So I could stay on top of things, but you know, if I got up a couple hours earlier, it didn't really make a difference. I hope for her. So I tried to balance that, and it seemed to work pretty well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder.
We'll be back next week with another conversation about how to enjoy a little bit more Zen in your startup life.